Well, good morning and welcome back to the God School. I hope you enjoyed a couple of the readings that I did from the work of my pastor, Dr. Gene Scott. I say I hope because I haven't heard from too many of you. I really want to continue to make available some of the express teaching of this true domata that is gift to the church of by God to you. Although I believe to some extent, by God's grace, that you are receiving much of that which I received from my pastor, because he taught the truth. And I endeavor to do the same. Today, I don't want you to turn to it because we're not going to stay here very long. I want to open up and attempt to reveal truth as opposed to traditions of men. In the 28th chapter of the book of Isaiah, in the 9th verse, it says of God, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make understand doctrine?" We, you know, today we have the Baptist doctrine, the Pentecostal doctrine, Presbyterian doctrine, you know, Church of God doctrine. But this word being translated doctrine in the 28th chapter of Isaiah, the word in the Hebrew is shamoa. It means something heard, but it goes beyond. It means what is heard is to stun. What is heard stupefies. What is heard makes amazed. In the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters of the Gospel of Matthew, this is that which took place, which is called the Sermon on the Mount. You know, many people get the Beatitudes and they say, well, that's the Sermon on the Mount. Well, no, it's the entire 5th and 6th and 7th chapters of Matthew. The 5th chapter opens saying, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him." That is, his learners. "And he opened his mouth and taught them. And the end of that teaching we find in the 28th verse of the 7th chapter, and it says, "And it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine." Gives witness to the Hebrew definition of doctrine. The Greek word being translated in this verse, astonished, is expleso. Expleso. It means thunderstruck, astounded, amazed, astonished. The outcome of that which was taught, the outcome was one of being utterly amazed. Incredible to gape with astonishment. Now, Jesus had many things to say in these three chapters. Many things to say. In these chapters, we find that which is called the Lord's Prayer. By tradition, it was not the Lord's Prayer. He never prayed that prayer because included in it was, "Forgive us our trespasses." Jesus Christ was perfect. He never committed sin. That was the price necessary for our redemption. The perfect life which he gave for us. Included in these chapters are what Jesus attributes righteousness to. And they include prayer, let me back up, let me give them in the right order. They include giving of money, he equates it to righteousness, of prayer, which he equates to righteousness, of fasting, which he equates to righteousness. All three being done not openly so as to be seen, but secretly so as to be seen of our Father, who in turn rewards openly. It includes, these include Jesus speaking, his words in the 5th chapter, 22nd verse, but I say unto you, in the 28th verse, but I say unto you, in the 32nd verse, but I say unto you. In the 34th verse, but I say unto you. In the 39th verse, but I say unto you. In the 44th verse, but I say unto you. The people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I always make an attempt here at the God School to teach God's word, therefore his doctrine, not my doctrine, not some denominational doctrine, but God's word, which is meant to astonish, to amaze, to stun. In the 25th verse of the 6th chapter, Jesus speaking, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. He said, is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? He said, behold, look at the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? You know, we were reading this week about this astronaut who had been in orbit for like 360 days, and when he came back, he had grown 2 inches. Jesus here said one cubit, that equals, the length from the elbow to the fingertip, about 18 inches. But this guy grew 2 inches, but came back to Earth, and, you know, lo and behold, within a couple of days, he was back to his same size. It really wasn't his thought that made him grow at all, but his environment. But Jesus is trying. He proposes the ludicrous. Which of you, by taking thought, by your own mind, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? O ye of little faith? Who's he talking to here? Well, I'll tell you, first of all, he's talking to me. And my hope is that he's talking to all of you who are listening to this message, particularly those who are participating with the God School. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, the context of this word are outside of God's calling, those who are outside of God's choosing. These messages from the God School are always designed to speak to God's church, those who belong to Him. And Jesus is saying about us, we of little faith, when you start looking at yourself and giving too much concern to your welfare, what you'll eat, drink, and be clothed with, Jesus is saying, you're thinking about those who are outside of God's choosing. But today, we hear these words. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God manifest in the flesh tells us that our Father knows we have need of all these things. And as in the 37th Psalm, wherein it says, the Lord knoweth we get that phrase, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. But what else does Jesus have to say? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When we find ourselves with anxious thoughts, which is a translation of both the thought, the word thought in the 25th verse, as well as that 34th verse, which we're about to come to. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Have you ever found yourself with anxious thoughts, particularly about tomorrow? What am I going to do? Like I have? I know you have. I have enough experience. I know that I have these thoughts. These are little faith thoughts. And at the God School, we attempt to put God on display through his word, because God's word declares that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Jesus here says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This word being translated righteous is a DK word in the Greek, which is a word used wherever an outbreak of the reality of God is found in the world. When the Hebrew Old Testament is being translated into the Greek, this word is a word in the Greek that translates a Hebrew word, tzedek. And as I've often taught here, this tzedek word has to do with covenant keeping. With keeping covenant. With keeping that which is said. And God's word is forever settled in heaven. God does what he says. That's why Jesus can say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When we change our focus, from the focus that the rest of the world has, we called ones, when we change our focus to God and his faithfulness, these anxious thoughts, they do subside. When we seek the kingdom of God, Jesus said in earlier passages in this Sermon on the Mount, seek and ye shall find. When we seek the kingdom of God, we will find it. When we seek his righteousness, all these things shall be added to you. As a teacher of God's word, as one who began to understand some of God's word more than 40 years ago, I can tell you I'm still a man, and there are times, thank God, fewer, but there are still times that I have anxious thoughts when my focus is on me and not on God and his righteousness. Anxious thoughts. But when, by God's grace, and by his Spirit, the attention is turned to him and his righteousness, and we could just as well say, and his faithfulness, the anxiety of these thoughts, they do subside. He goes on, he says, take therefore no anxious thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Too often we get anxious over the things of tomorrow, and amazingly, tomorrow never comes. And yet those anxious thoughts attempt and sometimes are successful at ruining today. Sufficient, Jesus said, unto the day is the evil thereof. J.B. Phillips, who did a translation of the New Testament, he offers this as a translation. He says, one day's trouble is enough for one day. Don't add to the weight of the trouble today by adding anxious thoughts about tomorrow. Your Father in heaven knows what you have need of, is Jesus's response to our anxious thoughts. I'm not going to get into a series of teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, inclusive of 5, 6, and 7, 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters of Matthew. I strongly recommend that you read them. But before we conclude, I would draw a little attention to these verses found in the 7th chapter, beginning in the 21st verse. Jesus speaking, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, and he's speaking about the white throne judgment. That's not where the saints of God show up. It's where the rest of those outside the chosen of God show up and attempt to justify themselves by saying, Lord, Lord, or many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Lord, Lord, look at me. And then will I profess, Jesus speaking, unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquities. It goes on. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, which astonished the hearers thereof, because they were delivered as one of authority, that same one who said, that he would die, be buried 3 days, and raise again. And on that fact of the resurrection is authority given to that which he had to say. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Jesus Christ. Our rock. Our cleft rock. That was cleft. For you. And for me. Going back to the 21st verse. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What's the essence of the will of our Father and the Father of Jesus Christ, what which is in heaven, what is the essence of that will? In the 6th chapter, in the 28th verse of the Gospel of John, in a dialogue, the people said unto Jesus, then they said unto him, that is Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Shall we prophesy in your name? Or cast out devils in your name? Or do many wonderful works in your name? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of the God, that ye pisduante, not believe, but faith. We need to make that word F-A-I-T-H-E, the verb, faith, not believe, not just an assent of the mind, but an action in hanging the body based on a belief of the mind and the heart, which is sustained by confidence. That's the word Jesus is using. That's the word translated 400 times in the New Testament, believe. The word is pisteos, or derivatives thereof, and it is acting on the promises of God. This is the work of God, This is the will of God, that ye act. Faithing on him whom he has sent. The most amazing individual in the history of mankind. That when he taught, he astonished the people because he did not teach what the world teaches. And therefore, the people were astonished at his teaching. We not only should be astonished, by the words of Jesus and by the good news of Jesus Christ. But we should trust is a good word. A synonym for faith. But we should trust in his word and take no anxious thought for tomorrow. For one day's trouble is enough. For one day. As we've taught out of Deuteronomy 33, the God of the forefront, that same God who spoke yesterday, who is speaking today, who shall speak forever, that same God who is referred to as the God of the forefront, not only is he on our corner today and in our corner today, he will be on our corner tomorrow as well. Glory to God and to our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the God School for today.